It's a real privilege for me to speak this morning. Just before I do that, I'd like to also just commend next Sunday to you, both our services, 9 and 11 a.m. Simon Brading, who leads the worship team across the whole of CCK, is coming with his band to lead. He's very excited about that. Simon's phenomenally gifted and leads the team so well. But most importantly and most excitingly, we have baptisms as part of this service. So at 10:30 in the atrium, don't be late, we're going to hear some great stories about how God has had his way, he's changed, had his radical life-giving activity in people's lives, and they are going to be stepping into the waters of baptism. We've got three people being baptized. I'm personally thrilled about it. Danny and I are going to have our shorts on, aren't we, Danny? Because we're going to be in the pool doing the dunking, and can't wait. Love these moments. They really are an expression of what God has done, because this is somebody saying, I'm getting into the water of baptism because I know what's happened in my life. What's happened to me in my heart, I want to show something of it outwardly to the community of which I'm a part. Good news? It's going to be fantastic. Please don't miss that. 10:30 next Sunday. You might want to come to the whole thing. Why don't you turn up at 8:30? Come and have some coffee and donuts and enjoy the 9 and hear preaching twice. No, you won't want to do that. Anyway, don't miss the baptisms. Super important. Really, really love you to be here. So we are part of our five-part series, This Is No Religion. That's what we're calling it. And we're using an acronym, BLESS, B-L-E-S-S. And the slide going to come up in a minute, I think, hopefully. And this will, it's called This Is a Project. And the next slide gives us a... Right, here we go. Okay, who can remember what the first one is? First one. Begin with prayer. That's right. Yep. Next one. Listen. That's right. And the next one. Oh, my favourite. My favourite. Don't you just love it that God invented eating? So good, isn't it? And he loves us to eat. Wasn't it brilliant to hear Mike Spence teaching here last week about God's gift to us, food, and how we can use it to encourage one another and draw people into community, to serve people? I love steak and chips. Anyone else like steak and chips? Love it. Love steak and chips. I don't know why I said that, but anyway, I said it. Anyway, and today we're going to look at serve. Now, that's interesting. And then next week, Joel Virgo will be teaching on story. Great, wonderful. So today it's serve, and I just want to start by saying what it isn't, okay? That's important, because I don't want to whip you into a frenzy of hard work. I don't want you to feel like, Matt's going to sign us all up onto a Sunday team if we're not on one already. He's locked the doors. That could be true, who knows? But I'm not going to do that, because that's not what I'm here to teach you this morning. I'm also don't want you to walk away and go and do random acts of kindness. Now, don't hear what I'm not saying. Random acts of kindness are wonderful. But what I want to do is to be able to take a close look at Jesus, who is our model. He is our servant king. I want us to do that this morning as a congregation. I want us to look at him and see how he operated and see what we can learn and even emulate. I want you to understand that these five things behind me on the screen are very much part of the way that Jesus operated. And I know this is such a brilliant way of simplifying it for us, but I want you to think now, how did Jesus operate? And we're going to look at a scripture in a moment or two, and Lisa Miles is going to read it to us, and we're going to draw on some great principles, and then we're going to learn a little bit about how we can serve one another around us. Does that sound like a plan? Sounds good, doesn't it? Lisa, why don't you, there it is, great. Do you want to hold it, or do you want me to hold it, or how do you want to do it? Do it, go for it. Lisa, read us the scripture.
Then he returned from the region of Tyre and went through Sidon to the Sea of Galilee in the region of Decapolis. And they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers into his ears and after spitting touched his tongue. And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, Ephatha. That is, be opened. And his ears were opened, his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. And Jesus charged them to tell no one. And the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it.
Fantastic. Thank you very much. Let's give Lisa a round of applause. You know, poor Lisa there, she had to say the hardest word ever in the Bible. Difficult word. There you go. We won't be saying it again today. Wow, what a miracle. What an incredible thing to have witnessed, perhaps. What an amazing thing for Mr. Deaf and Mute to come face to face with the living God, Jesus, and be healed. Absolutely incredible. Well, what can we learn about serving then from this fairly obscure and unusual passage? Well, I reckon there are five things we can fly through and just have a quick look at and wonder whether or not that we can draw a principle or a practice from. The first is Jesus crossed barriers. What's good to know just at this stage is that the Decapolis, which is the name given in the Bible to 10 cities, Deca meaning 10, Polis city, 10 cities that were kind of around each other. And what characterized these cities in particular was that they were Gentile heavy. And what I mean by that is that they were non-Jewish. Jesus was raised in a very Jewish culture, and he was a Jew. And for him to go into one of these cities would have been quite unusual. He crossed barriers. They were different spiritually, racially, ethnically, and socially. And if you think about it for a moment, it relates to our own lives, doesn't it? We generally hang out with people who are like us. And I was having a little bit of a joke in the nine saying, I'm not sure how many people in the town zone hang out with those in the river zone, because let's face it, they're racially different, aren't they? No, they're not. And but that's what I'm trying to get at, is that people hang out with people who are like them, racially, ethnically, spiritually, socially. We just do that, don't we? Now, Jesus found himself in one of these cities, and he crossed the barrier. He came out of his comfort zone, didn't he? He's not confined by these kinds of barriers. So Jesus crossed barriers. He's very comfortable with doing that in order to serve people, and we see it right here, don't we? Second thing, Jesus served perceptively. Perceptives is such a great word. It means to look carefully, to listen, to observe. How was Jesus perceptive? Well, he took this guy to one side. And when I was reading this, I think the phrase used was that he took him aside. And I can just think about that phrase for a second and think, you know what, sometimes that we can think of that being as being a negative thing. You're getting taken aside for a smack or something, or you get taken aside by one of the leaders who say, you shouldn't be saying that, and or something like that. I don't know, that's how you'd view it. I know with my own children, raising them and or learning how to raise them, and sometimes they do things that aren't kind, or they say things that are not acceptable, and so I take them aside, and we hold hands, and we look at each other in the eye, and we try and work out what was it you just said, and why did you do that, and what was going on in your heart here. And so often we think, don't we, that being taken aside is because we're in a bit of trouble or something like that. But Jesus, the perceptive servant king, he took the deaf and mute man to one side privately. Why did he do that? Just think for a second. The guy was deaf and he was mute. I don't know about your physical capabilities, but perhaps in this room there'll be people who struggle with being in big crowds because of noise. And if you're in a room where there are lots of conversations going on, then maybe picking up on a certain thread or the conversation that you're having is a bit difficult to hear because you've got this voice and that voice and this noise. I don't know what's going on, but I do know that for this guy to be deaf and mute must have been very, very challenging. But Jesus perceptively took him aside. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that beautiful? He knew what this guy needed. Jesus served personally. This is the third one. He was quite personal in this story, wasn't he? And there's this bit in it where he says, taking him aside from the crowd, he put his fingers into his ears, and after spitting, he touched his tongue. I mean, it wasn't just clearing his throat. No. He was actually physically spitting into his hand to connect physically with this man. It's kind of gross, isn't it? But you could argue that what he was doing was connecting personally, very personally, with this guy and saying, look, I want you to understand what I'm doing here and who I am. I want to really connect with you as best I can. So something that can kind of seem a bit revolting to this guy must have been so powerful, must have been incredibly powerful. Did you know that Jesus wants to connect with you in a personal way? Did you know that? Maybe you say, yeah, I know that. Did you know that he wants to connect with you in a personal way all the time? You might say, okay. Maybe you're someone who would say, I'm not a paid-up follower of Christ. Let me say to you, Jesus wants to connect with you in a personal way. It would have been a bit like sign language for this guy. But Jesus, he was not at arm's length. He pushed right through in a kind of bizarre way, so in order to connect with this guy with eyes of love. Wonderful. Fourth thing, Jesus served compassionately. I love this. So here we go. There, he touched the guy with his tongue. Then he looked up to heaven and he sighed. Now, he wasn't going, oh, for goodness sake, not another deaf and mute man. That was not what was going on. Okay? We can make a joke about it, can't we? But no, he was groaning within. He's coming face to face with this guy's suffering and his pain. And he was groaning. He was groaning within. The kind of groan that communicates something's not right. This physical suffering that this guy is going through, it's wrong. And it's painful. And I'm with him in this. Do you remember in the Gospel of John, Jesus' friend, Lazarus, he died. Jesus wasn't around at the time. But he was being called for by Lazarus' family. But Jesus got there too late. His friend had died. And we know the story that Jesus actually raised him from the dead. But as Jesus encountered the sorrow and the weeping, the shortest Bible verse, it says this: Jesus wept. He felt a personal connection, a very personal connection. He was compassionate with passion. That's what that means. That's what he did. So his sigh was an internal groan. And he's come face to face with it. Did you know that Jesus is showing phenomenal compassion here by his actions? A deep connection with this guy. Wonderfully, we can know that God is the one who gets alongside us in our agonies. And he weeps with us. Did you know that? This servant king gets right alongside of you in your pain. And your emotional stress and your suffering. Did you know that this morning? He comes very close to you. He walks through the valley with you. What a God that he would serve us. He enters into the pain of his people. And Jesus served privately. In verse 36, right at the end, he says, look, I've healed you. It's great. I'm thrilled that you're thrilled. I'm thrilled that everyone else around you is thrilled, but keep it quiet, tone it down. Let's not go too public on this. And why would he do that? If it was me, I would have said, yeah, you could put it on your Facebook page, and can you tag me as well? And, Jesus gets tagged. And, you could, I'll give you a loud hailer if you like, and you can walk through the street saying, Jesus healed me. And it'd be great because I'd get the glory. No, Jesus was private about this because he wanted the glory, he wanted the fame and the adoration to go in one direction, and that was God. He wanted that to happen. Proverbs 27 says, man is tested by his praise. That's true. What does it mean? Well, it means that actually be very careful that in the things that you do, the way that you serve others, that you're not doing it in order to kind of bring praise in your direction. Let the left hand not understand what the right hand's doing. Let's not go for this thing that brings us praise and glory, but let's do it in such a way that we're motivated, that God alone gets the glory for that. So in summary, this guy encounters Jesus. He encounters a person. Jesus crosses barriers, cuts through all of his stuff, comes at him personally, comes at him compassionately. He heals him and then God the Father gets the credit. Isn't that great? This is just one small example of how Jesus was such a brilliant servant. You know, there are stories in the Bible about how we cook breakfast. I love food. I love cooked breakfast. Don't tell my wife, I had two last week. And cooked breakfasts are brilliant. Jesus thought they were brilliant. He cooked his disciples breakfast on the beach. And what else did he do? Oh, he turned the blandest of water into the sweetest of wine. What a brilliant servant he is. Fantastic. One day, he wrapped a towel around his waist. He knelt down and he washed the stinking feet of his friends. What a servant. What an incredible servant. Another time, he just, you know, fed 4,000 people. What a guy. Jesus is the most accomplished, wonderful, perceptive, compassionate servant king that ever walked on this planet. And the good news is that he still serves us, you and me. He is our beautiful example. He came to serve, and we can learn so much about serving others. But by firstly looking at him. Now, at this point, you could say, hang on a minute, you've just showed me a good example. And that's right. And you're probably thinking, in a minute, Matt's going to say, right, you know what you're doing now. Let's just take communion and worship and have a great week, get on with it. The thing is, that's not really good news, is it? Just showing you an example. If I showed you Usain Bolt doing 100 meters in under 10 seconds and said, go on, your turn, you couldn't do it, could you? The training and the effort and the energy you'd have to put in, it'd be hard work. Showing you a good example is not such great news. My inbox would be full tomorrow morning of how, thanks for the talk, Matt, but really all you really did was just show us the hard work that we've got to do. And perhaps if you're a bit like me, I'd have a good stab, and probably by Friday I'd be rubbing my brow thinking, I've come up against opposition, no one wants me to serve them. I've even come up against ungratefulness. Oh man, this is killing me, and I'd be discouraged. There is a danger that bless and these steps that we're looking at can get the better of us, and we'll just end up perceiving it as hard work, but that is not what we're doing here this morning. Maybe even worse, you're thinking, serving? Not me. I'm far too busy to serve on a Sunday team, let alone my friends and neighbours. Or worse still, and I've definitely had this in my heart, you don't deserve my help. Man, I'm sure at some level we can all connect, can't we, with these attitudes. I know I'm tempted to think like that. So, here we go then. Second part of this talk is good news. It's good news. Firstly, Jesus, yeah, he served the deaf guy, but he's also come to serve us. Here's a scripture for you, Matthew 20:28. The Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve. Can we get that in our brains today? Can we get that? He's not looking at you thinking, come on, serve a bit more, please. No, he came not to be served, but to serve. He hasn't come so that you can serve him, not in that sense. He's come to serve you. You are the deaf mute in this story. It's your story. He crosses the barrier that separated you from God. He meets us perceptively. He knows exactly what we need. He looks at you with eyes of love and cares for you personally. You know, you're not just a number in the crowd this morning. He calls you by name. He's compassionate towards you. The things that you suffer with, they touch the heart of God, and he walks in the valley with you. Do you know, when my kids fall over, I could be tempted just to say, pull your socks up, come on, up you get, you're okay. And to my shame, I've done that already. But actually, what my heart really wants to do is rush over and scoop them up, nurture them, and make them feel loved and wanted. And it's great fun. Jesus is compassionate towards us. He's like that with us. He shows us what God is like. He says, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He hasn't come that you would serve him. No. He's come to serve you. Are we hearing that this morning? He's come to serve you. It's all about the grace of God. He serves you where you are at. Let me ask you this morning, have you encountered Jesus? Have you encountered his serving of you? If it's a big no, then my prayer for you this morning is that that changes right today. That it changes today. Before we talk about serving others, number one, we need to know that the grace of God means that he has come to serve us. Got that? Secondly, second bit of good news, okay? This is huge. His Spirit lives in us. Did you know that this morning? The same Spirit of this phenomenal servant king lives inside of you, helping you, guiding you, teaching you, strengthening you. And when we talk about serving the church and others, you need to know that you're not alone. We cannot serve others or in church life without the wonderful help of the Holy Spirit. Shall I repeat that? Because some of you weren't listening. When it comes to church and serving others, we cannot do it in our own strength. We cannot do it without the empowering Holy Spirit in our lives. And when you're feeling totally spent or discouraged, you can go to God and get filled again. And again. And again. That's definitely the case for me. Did you know that when you become a Christian, you invite this servant king into your heart, and he comes in at your invitation. He forgives you. He gives you a secure future. And he shows you undeserved grace and mercy. And he renews you at the very core of who you are. Okay? The very core. You end up with a heart that wants to please him. The old heart that was rebellious and arrogant gets totally removed. And this new heart comes in. It wants to please God. And the great news is that the Holy Spirit fills you up and resides in you, giving you the ability to walk the Christian life. But there's more. The Holy Spirit is a person, and he wants to shape and guide the plans, the purposes of God. He wants you to walk in them. And the great news is this, is that we can experience something called the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Probably half of the people in this room will know what I'm talking about, and half of you won't. But it's important that we speak about this, because the baptism in the Holy Spirit is more often than not a separate experience from becoming a Christian for the first time. Baptism in the Spirit is the same as baptism in water, in that you get plunged, you get absolutely immersed in the Holy Spirit, and you are empowered to live the Christian life. We love to pray for people for baptism in the Holy Spirit. We want to do that today, even for those of you that would say, I don't think I've experienced that. We've got a prayer team and others that would love to pray for you for that this morning. For those of us that are old timers and have been Christians for years, knowing the activity of the Spirit in our lives, fresh filling of the Holy Spirit is today. It's for today. It's for tomorrow. I want us to, when we come and take communion in a few minutes, to ask God for a fresh filling of his Holy Spirit. It's this that is absolutely vital in our lives. It's a separate experience, and I want us to know that baptism in the Holy Spirit is standard issue. It can happen at any time. It can happen today. It can happen as you're driving out of the car park. It can happen tomorrow morning in the shower. The only prerequisite for baptism in the Spirit is that you are thirsty. Is that you are thirsty for him to fill you and empower you. My prayer is that this church is distinctly known for being a people who are Spirit-filled. Okay? That's my prayer. That's the prayer of the team. That's the prayer of the wider eldership team. That's the prayer for us as a group of churches across the Greater Bryan area. We want to know the empowering Holy Spirit in our lives and all that he brings, all of his gifts, the assurance, the deep assurance of love in our hearts, the ability to speak personally in people's lives, to bring incisive words that open the doors into people's hearts and minds. This is who the Holy Spirit is. He is the empowerer. Let me just give you a few scriptures, just in case you're not quite convinced. Ephesians 5:18 says this, be filled with the Spirit. When you unpack that in the Greek, it's a continuum. Be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what it's talking about. Not just a one-off thing and hope for the best. No, every day, every morning, be filled with the Holy Spirit. Are you struggling in the Christian life at the moment? Battling with sin? Finding it tough to love people, to serve people? Don't do it in your own strength, for goodness sake. Please. The best version of you this morning is the Spirit-filled one. It's the best version of you, the one who empowers you to do all of these things. Look at this, Isaiah 40, 31. Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Beautiful figurative speech that talks about a state of being that is filled with the Holy Spirit. I want this for you. I want this for me. If you're not a Christian, I want you to become a Christian this morning and experience this for yourself. That's what we want. Here's another scripture. Just before Jesus was ascended, he said, I'm going to heaven, and in my place is coming another helper, the Holy Spirit. And he said this. Next slide. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. This is good news. It's not about your strength or your power. You won't make it to the end of tomorrow. Did you know that? You won't. Thirdly, and time's rushing on, we are his body. So, okay, if it's true, Matt, you're saying that he lives inside of me, then I'm kind of his hands and feet, right? Yes, absolutely, you are. Did you know that serving others means that it's not just acts of kindness, but we are taking Jesus into life situations. You are carrying Christ with you. When we are interacting with other people, they end up interacting with Jesus. We're an extension, aren't we, of his hands and feet. This is great news. And each day, if we're honest, is filled with opportunities to be a blessing, to serve others. He's there when we serve, and we are using our physical bodies. Do you know that Jackie Pullinger, a name perhaps familiar to some of you, she basically formed an outreach to some of the drug gangs in Hong Kong, and she would go and serve them in any possible way, taking them through rehab, serving their personal needs. And she said, you know what, to be honest, she said, I had my best encounters with Jesus when I went and did this disgusting work, when I served these poor souls that were so racked with addiction. She said, it's better than any Sunday morning meeting with crowds of Christians. I've never experienced Christ like I've experienced him when I'm serving someone and taking Jesus to them. That was her experience. Incredible. Let's think of it like that. So these three things change everything, don't they? The fact that he has come to serve us and knowing the grace of God. The fact that his Spirit resides in us and the fact that we are his hands and feet. It takes hard work from being just so draining to being a joy, to being an absolute joy. Okay, finally, last few minutes now. Let's learn some practices and principles. Now, everybody in the room here is different in character and in gifting. This is the multicolored design of God that we would be different. I love church because it's full of every kind of human being possible. Different personalities and different hair colors, different heart attitudes. It's amazing, isn't it? And church is the beautiful bringing together of people who are on a journey to find God. Some people have found him, some haven't found him yet. Some are just loving and reveling in this new adventure that they're called into. But this is the church. So I want to just pick out three things, very short things, to help us in how we go on serving others. Let's try and be perceptive. Now, here's a little story about being inadvertently perceptive. In my old house where I used to live, parking was pretty tricky. People were parked very close to each other. That might be your experience in this area. But it was Saturday morning. I had my bucket and sponge, and I was washing down my car. And you know what it's like when you get like to the end of the bucket, you've got about an inch of kind of dirty-ish soapy water in the bottom, and you think, well, I could just go in and refill, but I'm just going to put this on the car. So anyway, I picked it up, threw it, and the whole lot bounced onto my neighbour's car, all over his bonnet, windscreen, filthy water. And I thought, oh no. And his car was always pretty immaculate. And I thought, I've got nothing for it. I'll have to wash it. And as I started to wash it, I thought, oh, I'm getting used to this. So I'm washing it, and I feel like, yeah, I'm serving my neighbour. And I had my back to his bedroom window, and I heard the window open. And I've been trying to connect with this guy for so long, and it's been really hard work. And he's kind of not wanting to know me, and he kind of knows that we're Christians, and he's a bit wary of me, and it's hard, a bit hard. And then he shouts out, "Oi!" So I'm like, oh no. So I turn around, you missed a bit. So that moment, okay, albeit inadvertently perceptive of me to wash his car, just opened the doors. Amazing. Long story short, we became friends. We did meals in each other's houses. We got to speak into their life when it came to their marriage, which was a total joy. One day, knocked on my door. He looked really, really troubled. I said, "What's wrong?" He said, "I just feel like I've done nothing in my life for anybody. And you guys are just, you know, you're this and you're that. And I've done nothing. I've turned 40 and what have I done?" He said, "Does your church do any kind of outreach or something?" I said, "Yeah, it does. Yeah, come with me Monday night. We'll go down to the city centre and we'll show you what happens in one of our buildings where we serve up to 80, 90 homeless with a hot meal, clothes, and we communicate the good news and the love of Christ to them." Anyway, I took him along with me. And he had to sit down all the way through and sobbed in the corner. He was totally touched by the outworking, serving heart of God in these people. Amazing. Anyway, that's just a little thing that can just blow open opportunity for you. So let's be perceptive. Let's try to be perceptive. Do you know that the very act of serving people can break awkwardness with people? And I find that as new people get connected to church life, they don't really want me asking them questions about their life straight away, but they quite happily join a team and just take their time to find out who's who and what's what. Let's just try and be perceptive. Second thing, compassionately. Sometimes you can really feel people's pain, can't you? If you're a bit like me, it's probably over-exaggerated in my life. That's my gift. Don't run away from people's pain. Don't run away from it. When Jesus encountered it, he didn't bolt. He listened. In fact, he groaned. He allowed someone else's pain to shape his next act. Here's the thing. You're made in God's image. Did you know that? Of course you did. So expect to feel people's pain. You can expect it. Now, learn to go with it. Even serve in it. Now, don't throw your brain out and be unwise, but learn how to cultivate compassion for others. This could lead you to carrying the pain of someone else. But this is how Jesus is with us. He carries our pain, doesn't he? Learn to serve with compassion, and they will experience Christ through you. I wonder if the band would join me. And as they do, I just want to just say one more thing. We're going to respond with communion, taking bread and wine. And I'll help us with that in just a moment or two. But let me just say one more thing. Personally, Jesus cut through the crowd. He cut through the crowd. He took the guy aside and he served him personally, perceptively. Things do change when you take your opportunity to be personal with people. In conversation, why don't you learn how to be personal with people? I find a really simple but great question to ask people when I meet them is perhaps, you know, if you know them a little bit and you've known something about their lives, and if you spotted that perhaps they don't quite look themselves, well, ask them. "You don't really look yourself today. Everything okay?" Just watch the doors open. Get personal with people. Invite people to tell you about their lives. Amazing, isn't it? What if we could stand together? Is that okay? I want us to know that in all of Jesus' serving of us, let's remember that he gave his life in the ultimate act of servanthood. The servant king gave his life as a ransom for many. All in human history, that's not just us in this room, but that could be your friends. Who are the many in your life? Who are the people that God's put you around? Your neighbours, your work colleagues, the school gate. Don't you just love the school gate? Wow. Jesus gave himself as a ransom for many. The wonderful gospel says that he takes our sin, he serves us and will serve us eternally. Even to death on a cross, he served us. It's not about you and your gifts and skills. It's about Jesus and his mission. He served and gave his life for the many. And he wants to do it for you. Do you know that this morning? He wants to serve you this morning. As we take bread and wine, that's like Jesus serving us a meal. And he said, as you take bread and wine, he said, remember me. Remember what I've done. Remember that I went to the cross and I died for you. And the bread represents my body. Take the bread, eat it. Take the juice, which represents my blood that was poured out for the forgiveness of sins. Don't you love forgiveness this morning? Doesn't it enable you to lift your hands up? Say, thank you, Lord. What an amazing God you are. Thank you, Lord. You've forgiven me. It's great. I love it. Every morning, hands in the air. Thank you, Jesus. Clean slate this morning. Wow. Amazing. He did it for the many. Did it for us. He has served us so well. We're going to worship. Steve's going to lead us. And my suggestion is that as soon as you're ready to take bread and wine, go for it. Maybe you want to go with someone near you and pray with them. Perhaps you've got to sort stuff out in your own heart. Okay, so the Bible's very clear. If you're a believer and you've got some bitterness somewhere, get it sorted out first. That might mean you can't take bread and wine this morning. No shame in that. No one's watching. But if you can sort it out this morning, then go for it. Maybe you're someone who's said, I'm not yet a follower of Christ. Did you know this meal is for you today? If you put your faith fully in him this morning, you can do that. Go and see one of the prayer team and say, I want to do that this morning. I want to put my faith fully in Jesus. And then when you've done that, when you've prayed, go and take bread and wine. It's fantastic, isn't it? It's good news for all of us. No one's excluded in this room this morning. We are all invited to be served by Jesus. Father, thank you that you sent Jesus to be a phenomenal servant king. And we worship you this morning. We celebrate you. We say thank you for everything that you've done for us. Help us as we respond right now. Help every human heart in this room to respond in some way. Thank you, God, that you are crossing barriers to meet us face to face because you are intent on serving each one of us. Amen. Amen. Let's worship together.